that no one shares. And if my life is like the dust, ooh, that hides the glow of a rose, but what good am I? Heaven only knows. Lord, this bitter earth, yes, can be so cold. Today you're young, too soon you're old. But while a voice within me cries, I'm sure someone may answer my call. And this bitter earth, so bitter after all.
Hello all, and welcome to Hoff Sweet Hoff on KHDX 93.1. I am your host, Sam Gibson. It's been a while, but we have a lot to talk about, a lot to get to, and I'm excited to share it with you. Big topics. Recent releases, controversies in the film industry, reviews of a few movies from this year that you might have missed that I think need a little more attention on them. We've got a bit of Star Wars news, as always. We've always got Star Wars news. Talking about the current happenings, what I think of them, I don't know. This is Hoff Sweet Hoff. That was This Bitter Earth by Dino Washington, popularly featured in Killer of Sheep, Charles Burnett's absolutely seminal 1977 student film. But if you can find a Killer of Sheep or find it on the internet, wink, wink, I will not comment on the legality of finding Killer of Sheep easily on the internet, but you can find it. I believe in you, and I very much enjoy Killer of Sheep. It's quite good. New music release has me quite excited. Happens a lot. I'm not gonna lie on that. But it's a re-release / deluxe extended release of Radiohead's early 2000s records, Kid A and Amnesia, reissued together as Kid Amnesia, along with a third disc in the package called Kid Amnesia. I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm probably very wrong on that. Containing odds and ends, bonus tracks. They described it as just going back to that mental place, and that's what the experience of listening to the third disc is like after Kid A and Amnesia. And much of Amnesia was taken from those Kid A sessions. And extending it, I'm all for it. A nice trilogy of Radiohead records. I think it's very cool to reissue them both like this. Won't have to wait. We're not waiting years so we can get the sessions and the odds and ends from Kid A and Amnesia and that whole era of Radiohead. It's very nice to just be able to have it. It's really nice. I like it. We're going to have a song from Kid Amnesia. I really hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Tom York, if you want to come on the show and correct me on how this is said, I'm willing to put my pride on the line. You know, call me. That was my nose. Sorry. Come on the show, Tom. If you say the word by Radiohead on KHDX 93.1, Hoth, Sweet Hoth, I hope that y'all enjoy it. One of the best songs from the reissue. Say the word, Radiohead, Kid Amnesia. Really enjoying the new remaster so far. Very excited to have new-ish Radiohead not necessarily fully new, but you know, that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. So what's going on in the world of movies? What is happening? We've had a lot of big releases these past few weekends. The French Dispatch, Halloween Kills, Last Night in Soho, Spencer, I don't know if that is fully out yet, might be in limited release, the Kristen Stewart, Pablo Lorraine, Princess Diana biopic, and I'm very excited to see that after his work on Jackie, an incredible freaking movie. More people should watch Jackie. That gosh, how have not more people not watched Jackie? Drive My Car, the acclaimed film from Cannes, making its way over to the States in theaters. Very excited to see that. Of course, the big ones on the block: Last Night in Soho and The French Dispatch. A lot of discourse around these two, and I think that The French Dispatch is in serious trouble of getting trampled knowingly by the Walt Disney Corporation. It is a Fox Searchlight film. Most of Wes Anderson's films have been financed or distributed through Fox Searchlight, Indian Paintbrush, those kinds of studios. And so this is a Fox Searchlight movie, and I'm very scared with Eternals coming out and a lot of other Disney things coming out that they kind of hid this and didn't give it the proper time it maybe needed. Last Night in Soho, in a much better position, but also getting incredibly mixed reviews. I love to see it. I love to see this movie just tearing people apart. I'm very, very excited. And I'll say this right now. The discourse every time a Wes Anderson movie comes around, I'm not even a Wes Anderson fan, that it's even more of his style. Oh my goodness, he's so wacky. Like, it's his style. Thank God that there's. I don't want to see Wes Anderson make like a Cassavetes style intimate drama. Yeah, I wouldn't want to see Wes Anderson make The Shape of Water. Although that sounds pretty all right. But different styles suit different stories, and he's telling his own stories, even if I don't like them sometimes. Whatever, he makes nice stories. They're very pretty. Happy there's like one director out there with like really just you can't mistake his style. That is him, you know. Going away these days. Not that, you know. Whatever. But Last Night in Soho, the Edgar Wright film, been out for a few weeks. Incredibly excited to see it. Every time a movie gets just a lot of negative reviews, I'm on that. I'm absolutely just with that. I don't know why more people aren't excited when that stuff kind of happens. I think it's something to be celebrated, honestly. After we get back from the music break, I'm gonna talk about some of my most anticipated films of the year. And coming later in the show, having a review of Dune. That sounded kind of like the thing, the guy on the sidecar plane. He's like, blah, 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 blah. That guy. I want to go to that concert. That's what I want. This must be the place. Naive Melody by Talking Heads. You listen to KHDX 93.1. Hoth, sweet Hoth. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
Thomas. You seem particularly triggered right now. Can you tell me what happened?
I've had dreams that weren't just dreams.
Am I crazy? We don't use that word in here.
Have we met?
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small. And the ones that mother gives you don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall.
Time to fly.
And if you're chasing rabbits,
if you want the truth, Neo, you're going to have to follow me.
And you know you're
the only thing that matters to you is the new Lana Wachowski film, The Matrix Resurrections. I'm for a movie for the rest of the year. It was Dune. I was absolutely elated for Dune. And I'm not going to spoil my thoughts on that. You can read into the tone of my voice, I think. But The Matrix Resurrections, a sequel slash reboot slash what? Because there's some things in this trailer that make no sense. But I'm here for it. I'm fully so here for it. I rewatched the first Matrix about a month ago. And right before the trailer came out, right after. And I gotta say, I was just wowed. Watched it when I was younger, but revisiting it, it is simply an all-killer, no-filler. Every scene is memorable. Every scene is iconic. It meets the hype. It fully meets the hype. Absolutely.
After all these years, to be going back to where it all started. Back to the Matrix.
Yeah, I'm so freaking excited for this. There are, of course, a lot of smaller films that I'm also very excited for. Drive My Car, which I mentioned earlier, being one of them, if not the one. I'm very excited to see Drive My Car. But the Wachowskis I've fallen back in love with recently. Some of the best directors working today. If you don't agree with me on that, working in the big studio system, one of the most interesting, Jupiter Ascending, Sense 8, Speed Racer. I will go off about Speed Racer in a second. That movie is incredible. I don't know how that movie got made, and I don't know. I wouldn't even know where to start if I was making that kind of movie, but it's just the most incredible thing you've ever seen. And of course, the Matrix trilogy, and their producing work and the things they've written. Lily Wachowski is not coming back for the Matrix Resurrections, but Lana Wachowski is, with an incredibly talented stunt team, and Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss. I heard J.D. Pinkett Smith is coming back. That's fun. With new cast members like Priyanka Chopra, Jonathan Groff. That's the weirdest thing to say, that Jonathan Groff is going to be in the new Matrix movie. Hello, Naomi Brady. I love you. I just saw you outside the window and you waved at me. I hope if you listen to this at any point, shout out, I guess. But and then Neil Patrick Harris in The Matrix. It's very, very funny to me. And then the one I'm most excited for, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, one of the most talented actors of his generation, of this generation, with just so much work and such little time, such a talented actor, such a presence. His eyes are incredible. He's such a handsome man. He's awesome. He seems funny. Seems like a really great guy. I'm really excited to see what he does in the world. You might know him from Aquaman, which he is that is what he is most the most popular thing he's been in, as well as Watchmen as John Osterman / Dr. Manhattan, and as Candyman. He was in that, and that was a really good movie. I should have had a Halloween episode. I really should have. Really tragic stuff. Tragic stuff. If you haven't seen The Matrix, at least the first one, if not the trilogy, in a long time, I really implore people to go back and do that. It's so much better than you probably remember. In my opinion, I absolutely just adored it this time, and I'm so happy that a new one's coming out, and I'm happy that it looks interesting and cool and like a movie, which doesn't really happen all that often these days. This is Dragula by Rob Zombie. If you remember that one scene from The Matrix where they're in the club, they play the remix of this song. It's quite good. But Dragula by Rob Zombie, you're listening to KHDX 93.1, Hoth Sweet Hoff. Thank you for listening. See you when we get back. Halloween to all who celebrate All Hallows Eve. I had a very nice Halloween. I have some friends who are doing some Halloween do-over stuff, which I think is quite cute. Some people weren't able to have a nice Halloween. It was weird timing for Halloween, in my opinion, on a Sunday. But kind of a Halloween weekend situation going on
back then. But Halloween night, spent watching Gremlins 2, the classic. I love that movie so much. So much. It's incredible. I love Gremlins 1. I love Gremlins 2. The best duology in film history. Don't quote me on that. Don't do it. So, I promised earlier a review of the Denis Villeneuve, as Jason Momoa says in all these ads I keep seeing all over the place, the event movie Dune, adapted from Frank Herbert's 1965 question mark. I'm not going to fact check myself on that. Book, the seminal science fiction classic, you've heard of it, in a Watch Mojo list somewhere. And just everyone talks about it. And everyone's been talking about it, and everyone's reading it now. It's so, I'm so happy to see it. I've only read like half of the first book, but I when I was reading it, I actually got off around the time the movie ended, so I gotta get back on that. Denis Villeneuve was talking before this movie was even announced about how he would have liked to adapt Dune. And it's quite interesting that he takes on two projects in succession, Blade Runner 2049 and Dune, that are in concept impossible. A Blade Runner sequel was talked about for years and never happened, and it seemed like it was never going to happen. And the possibility of it happening, one, and two, being good, quite low, if I'm going to be honest with everyone. To be genuinely great, and for Blade Runner, respect the legacy. Well, you don't really have to respect the legacy. It doesn't matter that much. But just to make like a good movie that's not weighed down with nostalgia baggage for Blade Runner. And then with Dune, just managing the lore and managing how you build out the world in a movie versus how you do it in a book, which is much more long form. But he did it both times. It's absolutely insane. I feel like I've talked about Blade Runner 2049 on the show before. But if I haven't, it is probably my second or third favorite of Denis Villeneuve's films. It is just huge and expansive. And Denis Villeneuve can do scale like few other modern directors. The only one I can really... There are certain shots in Dune that give off a scale. The only thing I can really compare it to is the shots of the Death Star in Rogue One, Gareth Edwards. He's also... And his work on Godzilla. He's very good at conveying scale and conveying how big these things are and how little our characters are in comparison to them. And Denis Villeneuve... Blade Runner 2049 was a feat in and of itself, and one of the best movies of the 2010s. And in Dune, and hopefully in the second part, which I'll get to that later, to me, I have hope that Dune is delivering one of the best movies of the 2020s. As a science fiction movie, it is prescient and just glorious and gorgeous as an adventure, kind of. Not really an adventure, a big blockbuster. It's satisfying. I've said this before to some friends of mine. I find it so comforting and nice to have a movie where there's no quips. I find it quite nice to watch a movie and be treated like, even though it's a PG-13 movie, and it is for all ages, and I'm happy it is, and I'm really happy there's going to be, like, 12-year-olds who just get really into Dune. That's awesome. I know if I was a kid and I saw this, I would have thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And I'm very excited. I'm very happy that it's all ages, but you are ostensibly treated like an adult. It's a blockbuster, but it also trusts that you have a brain, and you know how to watch a movie, and it's also just engaging. It's so ridiculously engaging. The 2.5 hours for Dune just flew by. It could have gone on for 3 hours more. Once I realized that, like, oh, I've been here for a bit, this movie's probably going to end soon, it still felt natural. And I felt that the ending, or it reminded me of Fellowship, of the Ring, the first of Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings trilogy, adapted from the books, obviously. Here's this, a lot of setup, but also there is a complete internal journey that happens in this movie. And I think if you can take Attack of the Clones or The Phantom Menace as complete movies on their own, even though they are parts of something greater, then you can have Dune. It's a little more obvious that it is half of a book, half of a story, but it still feels cohesive and whole just because there's so much in this movie. It is a movie, if you know what I'm saying. I remember when I walked out of The Last Jedi in 2017 on release night, the first thing I said to my friends was like, I don't know how long it's going to be before I have an opinion, because it's just like a lot of movie to go through and to watch. And so I had a bit of the same feeling with Dune, but I was just, from minute one, I was on board. I was completely sold. Every frame, I don't say this often, every frame of painting, truly, just... And I know some people have said that this is just a really pretty film with nothing below it. As Stephen King would say about the film version of The Shining, it's a really shiny car with no engine. But I don't know. I think if you watch movies and you know, I don't think it's that hard to get and like connect to what's happening on screen, especially if you like science fiction. I don't really see a problem with it. I do love the thing with Dune where it's so far in the future and you don't know if humanity is just like this advanced. Or I know that humanity probably just failed itself multiple times. And so we have some technology, but we are using, as far as weaponry, like on the ground, we're not using guns to the extent. It's mostly swords. And I, of course, as a Star Wars fan, I quite like science fantasy settings with knight-like combatants and kind of medieval sort of aesthetics. But Dune, it's something else. Even as someone who's read the book, it is something else. It's crazy. Here is some music from Dune. This is Leaving Caladan. I hope you enjoy it. You're listening to KHDX 93.1, Hoth Sweet Hoth. Of Denis Villeneuve's films, Dune is probably the most spiritual, the most dreamy. Enemy has a specific pace to it that keeps that dreamy as all get out. But it's Dune feels
just in tune with its characters in a way that Villeneuve's more grounded movies are. I feel we are more in the mind of Paul Atreides than that of the protagonist of Arrival. I forgot her name. I know it starts with an L. Louise Banks. I want to say that. I know her name's Louise. But we feel more in the mind of Paul, given that we have some of the spice hallucination sequences in this. But I do quite like that there is those moments where you see Paul in the future and it's not like first person or some of these things. It feels like Paul is in the present seeing this, but also he is in the future having like it's happening to him in the future too. His mind is bridging space and time. And I think that's so interesting. And so that moment in that vision where he's fighting and he just like kills someone and stands there with his visor open, he has that look because he's flashing back to that moment that he was having earlier. It's so interesting to me. I love it. Shout out to all of the craft people and production people on Dune, because with the IATSE strike for production workers, those people need support. And apparently they came to a contract with the studios that they like. They like the contract. I'm very happy for that. But without these production people, nothing gets made. I'm an actor. I like writing screenplays and plays. I like directing stuff. But nothing I do gets done unless I have the help of costume designers, set designers, busboys, carpenters, sewers, all these people. And Dune is a testament to what people can do when you just have so many people with the same goal going in the same direction, doing it with 110% of their conviction. Thank you so much. And thank you so much to all the film people who are working during COVID. That stuff's not fun, especially pre-vaccine. Now that we have vaccines, we can at least be somewhat safe. And with boosters. But it's just hard. Thank you so much to people working in the film industry working to get these movies out, because Dune was delayed because of COVID. It was already done, but it was just delayed for release reasons. And yeah, I'm just very happy. I'm very, very, very happy that Dune exists. These kinds of movies, I feel, don't come out a lot anymore. And I get it. It's a two-movie adaptation of this big kind of esoteric science fiction thing. It is scary and daunting and expensive, most of all. So I get why these things don't happen that often. But quite cool. Quite cool. Very funny to me. I tweeted about this. Very, very, very funny to me that a whole Star Wars trilogy finished like 2 years ago, and yet there's more people like being excited about like this generation Star Wars in Dune than anything else. I think it's very, very, very funny, honestly. After the break, we're gonna have some Star Wars news and some recommendations for the weekend. This is Your Cat by Slaughter Beach Dog. Hope y'all enjoy it. This is KHDX 93.1.
Try to come up with something vague. She asked if to the party. It's so hot by noon, I just get queasy. It's so hot by two, I stay inside. I try to put down a cup of coffee. He asks how much I'm drinking and I lie. But doctors are always trying to tell you some torturous way to live your life. It's not like they know everything ever. Hey man, I went to college too. Forget to spit out the seeds. I'll make it through this if it kills me. Then when it kills me, I'll come back. Jesus will make me a disciple, or maybe he'll let me be your cat. I wait to be led into temptation as I lay alone across the street. Catherine is smoking pot above me, watching Hellraiser on TV.
I'm always late on turning the mic on. I need to start doing it earlier. Star Wars news. There's figures of Star Wars Visions. I haven't talked about Star Wars Visions on the show. I'm not sure. But it is they're so cool. They are so cool. Yeah, Star Wars Visions, if you have not seen it, is one of my favorite things to come out this year. I don't know. It's a TV series, I guess. I could also see someone watching all of them back to back and just watching them as a film, like The Animatrix. But I get why some probably wouldn't. I get it. A lot of High Republic stuff happening right now. Oh, the Halloween special last month was quite good. I enjoyed it a lot. Really great covers. Bravo to all the people who are working on that in the Star Wars comics right now, because they're really great, in my opinion. War of the Bounty Hunters, Crimson Dawn soon. Exciting stuff. I don't want to spoil anything, so I can't really talk about it, because I just want people to read it. It's cool. The biggest bit of little Star Wars news, a little Star Wars tidbit, is that Matt Smith finally confirms that he was dropped from Rise of Skywalker. This is like big stuff. Because one of the first casting reports for the movie was that Matt Smith would be in it. It was a big deal. Like, this was first casting of the movie. I think it also said Terry Russell would be in it. I think this is also around when Naomi Ackie was cast. Maybe Richard E. Grant. I'm not sure. But Matt Smith finally confirming that he was cut from this movie. I didn't believe that he wasn't in it until I saw it. And then he's not in it, so it's quite obvious. He gave some details during the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast with Josh Horovitz.
Smith said, "We were so close to me being in it, but then it just never quite happened. I think the thing they were thinking of me for eventually, the part became obsolete and they didn't need it, and so I never got to be in Star Wars." He could in the future. I feel like Matt Smith is definitely the type of bloke to show up on a Disney Plus show. I feel like he's the type of fella to do that. I could not possibly say if it was Palpatine's son. I'm assuming Josh asked him if it was Palpatine's son, and he said, "I cannot possibly say." But it was a pretty groovy thing. It was a pretty groovy part and concept, like a big story detail, like a transformative Star Wars story detail, but it never quite got over the line. Yeah, it was like early... I just knocked my nose against the mic like twice. This was early 2019 when these casting reports came out. And it was a bit... We just existed with this for a long time, this assumption. And he said, "As far as I can tell, I'm definitely not in the film." Richard E. Grant said that he would be fired if he spoke about Smith's involvement in an interview. It's very interesting. It's very interesting. Apparently, according to leaks, quotation marks. Smith was set to become possessed by Palpatine's spirit, which would lead to an intense lightsaber battle between Smith's character, Kylo Ren, and Rey. So it would have just been young Sheev. My guy, young Sheev. That sounds a little too much like young Sheldon. I hate it. But I'm assuming it would have just been kind of Dark Empire stuff. At least I'm assuming it. I don't want to make something out of you and me, but you know, I am assuming it. After the break, we're going to have some movie recommendations, movie and music recommendations for the weekend, and but what's going on next week? What's going on next week, Sam? Oh, well, you'll learn after the break. This is Silly Games by Janet Kay. Enjoy the music. Thank you for listening.
That was Silly Games by Janet Kay, a fantastic song. And tying into our recommendations for the weekend, we've got multiple. First, a film by the Wachowskis, Speed Racer. I've talked to a lot of people. A lot of people have seen this movie when they were kids, but haven't seen it since, or just haven't seen it. And I think people should see it, personally. I think that it's just one of the most visually dazzling movies of the 2000s. One of the best climaxes in any movie I've ever seen. I'm biased. I love that kind of stuff. But it's so emotional and something that becomes a little more important for me as I grow older. Very sincere. I always really enjoy that. Other recommendations for this weekend: Lovers Rock, Steve McQueen, part of the Small Axe series on Amazon Prime. Check that out. Annette, the Leos Carax movie with Marion Cotillard and Adam Driver from earlier this year. A fantastic little ditty. And Titane, the Julia Ducournau film. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I took French when I was a freshman and sophomore. Film. I don't want to say anything about it. I really don't. So just watch it. And Malignant. It's not Halloween anymore, but you should watch Malignant. And now for next weekend. Sam, what's going on next weekend? Well, I'm not going to be in the studio next weekend because I've got a show. Come to see Orlando, Hendrix Players at Cabe Theater. Tickets at hendrix.edu/theaterarts. Make your reservations now. I hope to see some people there. And I'll be playing Queen Elizabeth. Quite regal. Quite fun. I'm very, very, very excited for that. And then the weekend after that. What's going on the weekend after that? Well, I'll tell you what's going on the weekend after that. We are having an interview with Jared Gilliam. Yes. The star of Wes Anderson's Moonrise Kingdom, of the recent film that you should totally see, It Takes Three, a fantastic actor and noted Twitter personality, an incredibly nice guy. I had a fantastic conversation with him. This was recorded quite a while ago, but I'm really excited to show it off to y'all. I won't be seeing y'all next week, but I will be seeing you the week after that for an interview. A conversation with Jared Gilliam, talking to him about his favorite films of the year, his work on It Takes Three and Moonrise Kingdom. Again, such a great guy, and I'd like to thank Jared for that interview. Tune in 2 weeks for the interview. Thank you all so much. Here's I Stand Corrected by Vampire Weekend. Have a fantastic day. Thank you for listening to KHDX 93.1 FM, Hoth Sweet Hoth. Forever.
You've been checking on